Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, November 29th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Good to be with you on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, today is Giving Tuesday, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving here in the U.S. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Catholic writer Laura DeMaria will join us to discuss the role of Giving Tuesday and charity in observing Lent. On Tuesdays, we also remember to pray to our guardian angels, asking them to help us in our everyday lives. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines here on this Tuesday morning?
Well, Senate Republicans voting for the Respect for Marriage Act. The Senate will vote on a religious freedom amendment put forward by Senator Mike Lee of Utah and potentially the final passage of the bill to redefine marriage. 12 Republicans voted with all the Democrats in the Senate to advance the bill recently. None has vowed to vote no on it today. So it's kind of a big deal in the Senate, something that they'd like to get through the Democratic Congress. Well, the Democrats still have the edge there till the first of the year, and the White House would vote for that as well.
It is a big deal, and it's something that Catholics are keeping an eye on, especially 12 Republicans in the Senate, to see exactly what they do. Defenders of the bill deceptively claim that it would only codify Obergefell, the Supreme Court's 2015 decision that legalized gay marriage. But according to a Catholic Vote, it would actually empower pro-LGBTQ operatives to sue Christian artists, wedding photographers, Catholic schools, and Catholic adoption agencies like never before. So a lot of controversy with this so-called Respect for Marriage Act, Glenn.
Yeah, one of the things with the Democratic majority yet in Congress, as well as the Senate, the new Congress takes over after the first of the year, that Democrats are working hard to get done.
Meanwhile, it appears that President Biden is trying to avoid the potential rail strike. What is the latest going? What's going on?
This could happen, excuse me, as soon as December 5th, and this would really affect the economy in a big way. So much is shipped by rail, not only thinking about deliveries of things in time for Christmas, but basic things such as a good chunk of American oil is shipped, and so that could affect transportation around the country quite a lot. And it's not unprecedented for Congress to step in to make sure the trains keep running.
It would appear that there would be bipartisan support to try to avoid this strike.
Yeah, this is something where you could actually see that happening, because it would really, really adversely affect what's going on. So one hopes they get things done.
Meanwhile, the World Cup rolls on. The U.S. takes on Iran this afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Huge game for the U.S. With political implications. They haven't played each other in 24 years. But if the U.S. can't come up with a victory, it's either win or go home.
Yeah, for both sides. And we saw, you know, some very kind of creative insults between the U.S. And England, you know, one of our greatest allies in the world. So one can only imagine what some of the fun or not so fun back and forth might be between fans this afternoon. That game again at 1 Central Time.
Yeah, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
We begin every morning in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Isaiah 2:5. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Much of the world has already begun to celebrate Christmas, but Catholics are still waiting. We're observing the Advent season by walking in the light of the Lord. We're not jumping before the Lord, but waiting for His coming by preparing our hearts. We should be like little children, innocently waiting for the coming of the child Jesus with happiness. He is the light of the world, and we wait for Him to come into our lives at Christmas time. So we pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in You. As we prepare our hearts for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this Christmas, Advent is a season to reflect on God's blessings in our life, but it's also a great time to tackle the often difficult reality to forgive others and sometimes even to forgive ourselves. Do you have trouble forgiving someone who hurt you and letting go of any resentments and bitterness? Joining us this morning from Denver, Colorado, is internationally acclaimed Catholic author, speaker, and television host, Chris Stefanik, to talk about the power of forgiveness and healing. Chris Stefanik has devoted his life to inspiring people to live a bold, contagious faith. He's the founder and president of Real Life Catholic, a nonprofit which operates as the headquarters for Chris's various initiatives. Above all, Chris is proud to be the husband to his wife, Natalie, and father to their six children. Good morning, Chris. Welcome back to Morning Air. It has been a while. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning here at the beginning of Advent.
It's been way too long, and it's a total joy to be with you. Thanks for having me, brother.
It is absolutely a joy, and it was really great to meet you in person recently at that Great Lakes Catholic Men's Conference just outside of Chicago. What a powerful message that you gave all the brothers there on living joy.
Yeah, I mean, God created us to be happy. He created us for eternal joy. And when He created the universe, His plan was already in place that heaven, you read the last pages of the Bible, would be a wedding banquet, which is the most joyful experience imaginable. And that's what He wants for us. And everything He calls us to do, from the rules that we're following to the rituals we're keeping alive to the difficult process of letting stuff go and living with a radical forgiveness in our hearts, all of it is because He wants us to have a joy that lasts forever, but starts now.
Well, I was very moved by your message to the men at that conference, and you also gave me a sneak preview that you had this four-part video series coming up here during Advent, and I thought that Advent would be a perfect opportunity to talk about the power and the beauty of forgiveness. Can you give us a little thumbnail sketch of your four-part video series called As We Forgive?
This really arose from an experience I had. I had a film crew in town. We were filming a seven-part series on overcoming fear. And while they were here, a priest friend of mine came to my house, and he's like, Chris, you have some things you need to forgive. And I thought, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I feel pretty good. And I didn't realize, brother, like he led me through this prayer process where I thought, you know, I actually am doing pretty good. People in my life who have wronged me, I forgive most of the time, and I have forgiven them 99%. And I realized as he, and this is really, frankly, just a charismatic moment where the guy just saw this in my soul. But I realized, you know, if you don't forgive, just that 1% of you doesn't forgive, it's kind of like if you drain a sink 99% of the way from the soap scum, and then you go on vacation for 3 or 4 months and come back home. What's that some scum going to look like in the bottom of your sink? And I thought, dang, that's my soul. The plug needs to be pulled. And God wants us to live with an absolutely radical, radical forgiveness where nothing, even a little bit, stays in there. We're holding on to nothing. And so literally after filming this program on overcoming fear, the next day we whipped together this program, which is it was just the Holy Spirit inspired. And I thought, we're releasing this in Advent, man. And it's just about how to think through forgiveness in the right way. How to think through what it is, what it isn't. A lot of times we have the wrong ideas about forgiveness, and that keeps us from forgiving. And then how to do it, and how to form a soul that just doesn't hold on to a dang thing, so we can have that joy that God made us for. Because you can't be happy if you're holding on to grudges. You can't. It's impossible.
Without a doubt. And I think that during this Advent season, it's a perfect time to talk about forgiveness, especially when you consider, you know, relatives that maybe you haven't talked to for a while. Maybe you might have something still deep down in your heart that you're holding on to. Many reasons to really look at forgiveness here during Advent.
Yeah, and a lot of those, and it's really is perfect timing, because a lot of those relatives you haven't talked to for a while, it's for a reason. You might not really be that excited to see all the relatives you're about to see. And it is helpful that forgiveness is not, it's not making excuses for people who have hurt you in your life. I had a friend recently tell me, you know, my dad, Chris, was an alcoholic. And he started talking about how this hurt him. And he said, but my dad's dad was an alcoholic. And that's why he was an alcoholic. And I said, look, brother, why don't you just full stop at my dad was an alcoholic and it hurt me. You don't have to make excuses for somebody. You don't have to brush away the pain that they caused you to forgive them. In fact, when you make excuses for somebody and you brush away the pain that they caused you, you can't have the condition to properly forgive them because you haven't faced what they did to you. So forgiveness is not making excuses for the people that you're going to see that have hurt you. It's not making light of things that have happened in your past. How many times has somebody said, I forgive you, and heard in response, it's okay. It's like, no, actually, it's not okay. The reason I'm saying I'm sorry is because I did something that wasn't okay. You just have to face it head on and say, I forgive. Forgiveness is not a failure to draw boundaries. If someone you're encountering is unsafe for you or is perpetually hurting you, it's okay for you to, kick them out of the house, at least out of the house of your heart. And I think of when Jesus encountered people in the gospel, he's going to pray over a person who had died. And he said, the person's just sleeping. And he was mocked. I love this scripture verse that Jesus put them out of the house. It's okay to draw boundaries. Even Jesus kicked people out of the house. So it's not all these things that a lot of people avoid forgiveness because they think, well, I have to accept the fact that I'm hurt, or I have to draw boundaries. It's like, that's fine. You should do those things. And you should forgive at the same time. And you can't live a life of freedom until you have done the part of letting things go and forgiving.
Can you talk about living a life of freedom? I think that at the end of the day, the Lord wants us to be free. How can we be free when we forgive?
It's a great quote from Louis Smedes. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you. Dang, that one really hit me right between the eyes. One of the people in our video program, which I'll say this before I forget, you can sign up on reallifecatholic.com. One of the people on there is Immaculee Ilbagiza. This is a person whose family was killed with machetes during the Rwandan Holocaust, and she forgave. And in her process of forgiving, her testimony, it's going to blow your mind when you see it. In her process of forgiving, she realized that she herself was being set free by the process, by letting things go. So what is forgiveness? Okay, forgiveness is when you recognize that you have been hurt, that there was an injustice done, and justice is to give someone or something what's due to them, right? So when you have been wronged, there was something that injustice you were due, you were owed this right treatment. Or maybe you were owed that paycheck, or maybe you're owed that royalty, or maybe whatever it is, whether financial or maybe you were owed a good relationship with your father, a protection from your parents that you didn't get, right? It's to look at that thing that I was owed and didn't get, or something that was taken from me, and to say, I'm going to let go of the debt that you owe me. Now, you could still have your boundaries. You could still feel the pain. But you're making a decision to no longer hold on to the debt that you're going to hold over someone's head. And you can know that in the eternal plan of God, justice is always done. But you're going to make a decision to pray for that person that they wouldn't face the eternal justice that comes from having hurt you. And when you do that, you find that you're the one who's set free. When you don't do that, you're a slave to your own unforgiveness, because you're constantly keeping score. You're constantly mindful of this way you've been hurt or the injustice that was done. So you're calling to mind, and you're making present the hurt and living in the presence of that hurt, and it's still dominating you. And you, gosh, man, you don't owe anybody that, especially someone who maybe doesn't even like you. You don't want to give them that kind of power, that kind of real estate in your head. So it sets you free when you just make that decision to let go.
Absolutely. We're joined this morning by Chris Stefanik, internationally acclaimed Catholic author, speaker, and television host. We're talking about the power of forgiveness. Chris, forgiveness is supposed to be total forgiveness, no exceptions.
Brother, this is not easy. I mean, it's a painful thing to do, to really look at no matter what has been done to me, no matter what. And to say, I feel that pain, I face head on, and I'm not in denial of what's been done to me, but I'm going to form the habit of, even if I don't feel like it. And here's a beautiful thing. We often are passive recipients of what's going on in our heads and in our emotional lives, but you're actually the boss of what's going on in your head, and you can be the boss of your emotional life and say, even though I suffer this pain, I'm going to say the words, even if the person's not with me. Even if I can't enjoy one of the fruits of forgiveness, which is reconciliation with this person who hurt me, I'm still, for my part, going to let go and say, with Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive him. He knows not what he does. He knows not what he did to me. Father, forgive him. I'm letting it go, and I want you to let it go. And with all these spiritual practices, you know, with every virtue we build, it's not about it feeling good. It's about the fact that we're going to do this again and again, until we experience the fruits of that virtue and the fruits of forming a forgiving soul. So since doing this program, getting more intentional about this myself, every little thing that's come up, I've just taken a deep breath and a little pause and said, you know, Lord, I'm letting go of that. I'm letting go of that. And I pray that you would too. I pray that you'd have mercy on this person who just now hurt me, because I don't want to give this a minute of real estate in my head and power over my heart and mood. Chris, and that's what Jesus showed us on the cross.
No, without a doubt. On the cross, he taught us to be able to say with him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He also taught us about the power of forgiving 70 times 7. Even the Lord's Prayer is a never-ending reminder of the importance of forgiveness. We are commanded to forgive. It's not an option.
Yeah, and in that scripture where Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7 times, Peter had asked him, how many times must I forgive my brother? And right there, you see that from the first days of Christianity, forgiveness is not fun, because you don't ask that question unless you don't want to do it. Lord, how many times do I have to do this? Yeah, and Jesus points out that this isn't just about the person that you're forgiving. It's not because that person deserves it. It's because you deserve that freedom, right? So Jesus, right then and there, keep forgiving, Peter, again and again, 70 times, as many times as it takes for you to be free. And that's what this is about, that he gives us this almost this seemingly impossible command to follow, because he wants our joy. He wants our freedom. And he wants us to be the kind of people that he showed us that he was on the cross, that we're not, you know, going to say, I'm so powerful and have all these things due to me that I'm not going to let you get away with hurting me. No. Rather, let's say with Jesus on the cross, I'm not going to let you take my joy away. I'm not going to let you make me a hardened person. I'm not going to let you make me less loving. I'm not going to give anybody that power.
Confession has been called the sacrament of joy. Can you talk about the power of confession in helping us to forgive others from the heart?
Yeah, well, that's the basis of all this, right? Jesus instructs us in the Our Father to forgive others in the way that we want to be forgiven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And when we go to confession and kneel before God and look at our own sins, that's really, and we talk about this in the program as well, that's really a starting point for recognizing that, who am I? who am I not to forgive people who have wronged me? You know, when I myself have wronged God, I love looking at the cross when I'm in confession. I might bring a little cross with me, or often there's a cross hanging there in the confessional, and just thinking, man, I did that. I did that. You know, the things that the sins of the world did to Jesus, that doesn't compare with what anyone's ever done to me. And yet here he is forgiving me. Who the heck am I to be holding on to all these things that people have done to me? As if by my holding on to them and recalling them to mind and remembering them, as if by doing that, I could bring about justice. These are the things that our mental processes trick us into doing that lead to our misery. We actually think, because we confuse ourselves with the Almighty, we actually think that by my thinking of it, I can hold someone accountable. Scripture tells us justice is mine, says the Lord, right? And our wrath doesn't satisfy God's justice. No. I have to kneel before God as a sinner myself, ask him to let go of the ways I've wronged him, and do the same thing that I'm asking him to do. But yeah, that's a powerful sacrament, brother. Great one for Advent.
I absolutely love it. Father Rocky reminds everybody all through Advent, if you do nothing else, go to confession during Advent before Christmas, and you'll have a blessed Christmas. In the final moments, Chris, I wanted to talk about, our sins are finite. There's only so much that we can do. God's mercy is infinite, like an ocean of mercy. Can you talk a little bit about how we can forgive even the most horrific of sins, just like the Lord forgives ours?
Well, the only way to do it is ultimately with the power of his mercy, which is an expression of his divine love. You know, when Jesus says to love your enemies, he's telling us really to do the impossible. And while it's the only path to real freedom and joy ourselves, he is asking us to do something that's impossible without his grace. So when we experience letting go of things ourselves and praying that the Lord has mercy on those who have hurt us and trying to imitate him on the cross, we're doing something divine. You know, we're doing something that we need to tap straight into the heart of God to do. But anything that falls short of that is less than life to the full. You know, so this is that sacrament of divine mercy. I'm so glad you brought that up. And this whole program, this 4 weeks of reflecting on what forgiveness is, what it's not, how to do it. It's really all about following Jesus and begging him for the help that we need to be like him. We can't do it alone.
Well, I think the Holy Spirit was onto something when he inspired you to create this 4-part video series. It's called As We Forgive Those. How can our listeners, once again, get plugged in?
Go to reallifecatholic.com. You could sign up there. It's free. There's also going to be downloads to do small groups with your friends or reflection questions. I've had people already pilot this and say it was the most powerful friendship groups they've ever had, getting together with 3 or 4 friends and watch a video, go through the questions. It's incredible what this is already doing for people. So reallifecatholic.com, sign up. It's all free.
Chris, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. This is going to be a fantastic program that any one of our listeners can get involved in. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me. What a great way to start the day.
Absolutely. Internationally acclaimed Catholic author, speaker, and television host, Chris Stefanik. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Catholic writer Laura DeMaria will talk about the role of Giving Tuesday and charity here during Advent. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Stay tuned for more of Morning Air. This is Morning Air.
Morning Air.
Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and our producer, Sarah Tafoya. Good to be with you on this Tuesday morning in the first week of Advent. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, today is Giving Tuesday, hashtag Giving Tuesday. It falls on the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
It was created in 2012 as a simple idea, a day that would encourage people to do good. Giving Tuesday is now a global generosity movement that inspires hundreds of millions of people to give and to celebrate generosity. Now, for Catholics, what is the relationship between Giving Tuesday and charity, especially during this Advent season? Remember that our Lord Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Joining us live from our nation's capital is Catholic writer Laura DeMaria with much more on the role of Giving Tuesday and charity. Laura is also a nonprofit management professional living in the metro Washington, D.C. area. She's a revert to the Catholic faith. At her personal website, lauradimaria.com, she writes on topics including personal development, spiritual study, and living the Catholic faith in daily life. Good morning, Laura. Thanks so much for joining us on this Giving Tuesday. Good to be with you once again.
Great to be with you, John. Thanks for having me.
Laura, can you tell us a little bit more about Giving Tuesday and how so many charities all across our country are reaching out to their supporters on this day?
Yeah, well, if you're like me, you've probably already received a few emails in your inbox this morning and even in the days leading up to today from all kinds of charities asking for your support. And I think it's really important for Catholics to remember the role of charities and nonprofits generally in our country. You know, we have this long history of addressing a lot of our nation's problems through the charitable sector. You know, these nonprofits are a really critical facet of our overall civic society. You know, I mean, the Catholic Church itself is a beautiful example of that. No institution has fed and housed and educated more people in the whole world. And a lot of times that's accomplished with the cooperation of people like us giving and supporting those charities. So it's always a good idea to give. It's always a good idea to support those missions and causes that are important to you, you know, that mean something to you, that better the world that you're in. And Advent is a really perfect time for that because it's a liturgical season. It's a time where we're called to look at the way that we spend our lives and our relationship with God for a lot of reasons.
And Laura, for you as a nonprofit management professional and a writer, this is a an issue, the issue of Giving Tuesday that I'm sure something that you really understand. You understand the importance of supporting organizations in a generous way.
I do. I really believe in the importance of giving and giving back generally. You know, you mentioned Giving Tuesday is a call to generosity generally. So that can also include volunteering your time, you know, providing your services, your skills, and your talents to organizations that need them. But at the end of the day, you know, we all know you can't accomplish a big mission without any financial support. So God, everything that we have in our lives is a gift from God. And of course, that includes money. So we're called by the Lord to be good stewards of our time and money and to share what we have with others. So it's a really fundamental aspect of being an active, devoted Catholic in your daily life to look at the ways you can support organizations around you, because chances are they couldn't do it without your support. And I don't know of any nonprofit that would turn down $5. You know, so even if that's all you have, today is a great day to go for it.
Absolutely. And this is something that here at Relevant Radio, our Relevant Radio family has been so generous over the years, time and time again, supporting what we do. And we couldn't do it without their generosity. So, you know, it's something that it's so important to understand. And I think especially here during this season of Advent, mm-hmm. it is a time to open up our hearts. And like you said, there's if you can't give, you know, $5, if you can't give $100 or whatever. There are many, many other ways that one can give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, volunteering, giving back time. There's a lot of good that comes out of this as well in terms of what you're teaching your kids and how you're spending your time. And, you know, we're talking about this in the context of Advent. And I want to remind everybody, what are we thinking about during Advent? We're remembering the birth of Christ, but we're also looking ahead to his next coming. You know, there's something in these past few weeks we've been hearing the book of Revelation. So it's always the lead up to Advent. So kind of this focus on, you know, what we'll kind of call the end of the world. So the second coming of Christ is kind of related to the end of the material world. And I just always think of that phrase, you can't take it with you. You know, like you can't take whatever you've got, you know, your home, your money, everything. It's really the difference and the impact that you make in the world that you leave behind. So it's an opportunity to give in recognition of this is a gift to me, you know, and I can't hold on to it. And so in this spirit of looking ahead to Jesus's second coming and being able to not hold on to our material things so tightly, you know, it's an opportunity for humility. That's a direct way that the idea of giving relates to what we focus on, what we pray about and think about during the Advent season.
It is so true. You can't take it with you. And I think it's important to also understand that we're stewards of God's money. God has all the money in the world. It's really not our money. We are merely stewards while we're here on earth.
Yeah, one of my favorite phrases that another friend of mine who also works in nonprofit development said to me one time is, God has a lot of money. And I thought, that's so true. That's great. You know, we worry about our budgets and our bottom lines and, you know, our household expenses and things like that. And that's not to minimize how stressful money management can be and how difficult it can be sometimes to make ends meet. I mean, there's probably no one listening to this who's never experienced that. But it's a really good way of looking at both kind of, you know, your personal finances, but giving as well. God's got a lot of money. You know, you give now, you probably will receive back in some other way, whether that's financial or not. But I find that we're invited to a generosity of the heart and of the spirit where to give is to receive, you know, in this season. And we're not in Christmas yet, even though, of course, you know, a lot of us probably have our trees up and listening to Christmas music. It's not just Christmas that's a giving season. Advent is as well. You know, there's this theme of opening up your heart to being able to give and to seeing how the Lord supports you.
Do you think that this day, Giving Tuesday, is something that has caught on in our country? A lot of people are plugged into its meaning?
I do think so. You know, it's interesting because even though it's this giving campaign, and it's actually kind of a corporate-y sort of thing. You know, if you go to Giving Tuesday's website, you'll see a lot of their big supporters, and you've got groups like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So it's a global thing now, but I think what kind of makes it so special is that you can give to organizations where you are, and I think that that's always going to be the best thing. You know, yes, 100% give to, you know, the big children's hospital in some other state, you know, if you don't have one nearby. But look at, you know, food pantries that are near you, homeless shelters that are near you, your own church. There's all these ways to be a supporter of the ministries and the organizations right where you are. And if it takes this kind of national or global movement to remind us of that, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Well, I definitely want to talk about some of these many different charities that are out there. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out where you want to donate your money on a day like Giving Tuesday and or any other occasion. We need to take a short break. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of our conversation on Giving Tuesday and the importance of charity here during this Advent season, we're taking your calls for Catholic writer and nonprofit management professional Laura DeMaria at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Laura. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
This is Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for tuning in as we continue talking about Giving Tuesday and charity and the role that charity plays in observing Advent as we continue our conversation with Catholic writer Laura DeMaria from our nation's capital. Laura, before the break, we were talking about that there's a ton of charities out there. There are so many different charities. How do you know who to give to, especially on a day like today, Giving Tuesday?
It's a great question. And the first thing I'd say is take it to prayer. You know, think about the things that mean something to you in your life, or that you're kind of worried about, you know, that you're kind of concerned about, and take it to prayer and see where God is calling you to give. And I mentioned a couple of examples of that just before the break. So really obvious ones are, again, going back to that concept of give where you are. You know, yes, it's wonderful to give to overseas missions and things like that. But if you really want to do something right where you are, I think that's a great place to start. Homeless shelters, food pantries, the local pregnancy center, of course, is a great example of that. But there may be something that's just really important to you. You know, maybe you have a family member who has a particular illness and you want to help be a part of a movement to eradicate that illness and donate to research. There's just a million ways, you know, to support anything that matters to you. And I also think we overlook our own role in supporting our local churches, our local parish. And there's a couple times a year where your diocese might reach out to you for, you know, like the Bishop's Lenten appeal, or there's usually a Christmas ask and things like that. But outside of that, you know, are you supporting your church on a weekly basis? And maybe you want to support the flowers on the altar because they're beautiful and they bring you joy. You know, or maybe you want to support through giving to the poor box. There's lots of ways to support. And I think also, too, it's always a good idea to go to those organizations that you're potentially interested in supporting and ask them, what is it that you need? You know, I think it's really neat how charities over the last few years have gotten creative, especially when everything was shut down and you were really relying just on online interactions. But a lot of organizations, for example, have Amazon wish lists, and you may not know that. And there may be, you know, school supplies that you can buy for someone. I even know priests that have Amazon wish lists that you can go and, you know, get them clothing or just basic things that they need that they don't necessarily have the income to buy for themselves. So prayer, research, talking to charities, thinking about what's already on your heart or that you have a personal connection with, those are all great ways. And again, like we've already said, it's not about going out and giving $1,000 to every single charity that matters to you. You know, even a little bit counts, even a little bit matters. And every charity that you support will be grateful no matter what, I promise you.
Now, we are not in a pledge drive here on Relevant Radio, but nevertheless, on this Giving Tuesday, if for whatever reason you didn't give during the most recent pledge drive and you feel like you're looking for a place to share your generosity, by all means, we always appreciate additional gifts. You can always give online at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. So it reminds me of Father Rocky, who has jokingly said so many times in the past, give until you smile. It makes me smile just when I think of it. Give until you smile.
Yeah, John, I mean, I've been a donor to Relevant Radio for many years because I believe in what you and we are doing here. And you hear the stories of how people are impacted by Catholic radio and by the, you know, the news and the information and everything that's shared here. And it's a really unique way for a national and or global network of Catholics to be together and to grow together. So 100%, you know, Catholic media is really important. And we're in this interesting time where evangelization takes so many forms now. You know, it's not just about standing on a street corner. And so if you, listener, are someone who wants the church to grow, supporting an organization like Relevant Radio or, you know, your local Catholic newspaper or things like that is a great idea. You know, you may not be the person who's going out and speaking and doing that sort of thing, but you can be the person who supports it.
Laura, can you talk about how charity and almsgiving, especially here on this day, is a great opportunity to grow in humility?
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. Whether it's Advent or Giving Tuesday or not, when you donate your own money, it's an opportunity for humility. And actually, I'll start with something of a definition that I was thinking about as it relates to charity. So some people may have heard this before. So St. Thomas Aquinas said that the essence of charity is actually friendship with God. So to him, charity was an aspect of love, and it was an aspect of friendship with God. And essentially that we are to spend our whole lives striving for the virtue of charity, of friendship with God. You know, everything that we do is ordered toward that, where it ought to be. We're striving for that to be the case. So, you know, charity, friendship with God, that's a pretty humbling thing in and of itself. That's a pretty big goal to reach for. But in terms of really in a day-to-day sense, when you freely give of your own resources, because we typically, you know, we want to kind of hold on to the money that we make. We need it. You know, we need to support our families. We need to pay our rent. We need to pay our mortgage. It's humbling because you realize that everything that you have is a gift, and everything that you have can go away kind of quickly. You know, we never really know what's going to happen day to day in our lives. Really, the only guarantee is the present moment. So if you're in a position to freely give of what you have, it's a reminder that it's not really yours, you know, to begin with. You have this opportunity to make a difference and to part with your money freely and to say, I am going to, in humility, rely on God here instead of my own ability to make money, my own ability to support myself, my own ability to, you know, have a big career, whatever it is. When we hold on really tightly to money, it tends to become a matter of pride or vanity. So parting with it, it's kind of the opposite. You know, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to be humbled a little bit.
And it also can teach us detachment, something mm-hmm. that we meditate on, especially when we meditate on the birth of our Lord, which is the whole purpose of preparing our hearts for Christmas here during Advent. Can you talk a little bit mm-hmm. about that spiritual fruit of detachment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so detachment is not the rejection of something good. And I think that's a really important distinction to make. Detachment is to say, I could take it or leave it. I am free to do that because I'm doing so as a moment of free will, but because I trust in God. You know, so detachment from the things that we are attached to, we aren't necessarily always attached to bad things. I mean, you're probably attached to your family. That's a really good thing. You know, if you love your job, you're attached to your job and your career and your work, whatever you produce. You know, you can have attachment to hobbies, to your pets. You know, these are good things. So to be detached is not to say, I'm going to turn my back on all of that and reject it because in some way it controls me or something. It's more to say, this same gift of being able to say, I thank God for this. I also recognize that it could be taken from me at any point. And my identity as being loved by Christ is not because of these things I'm attached to. It's because he created me and because he created me out of love. So yeah, giving away what you have is basically way number one to achieve a level of detachment. It's just always, you know, these kinds of conversations are really, if you're like thinking about how to be detached, have a conversation with your spiritual director, you know, or your priest so that you don't take it too far. You know, this is not like everybody go out and sell everything that you have and get rid of your house and things like that. But it's more just, it's a disposition and an orientation to what you possess and what your relationship with your possessions is. And I think that is the work of a lifetime. You know, we desire security and comfort, and that isn't a bad thing. It's just, do we have the properly ordered relationship to it?
Final minute, Laura, just a word on teaching our kids about the meaning of giving, especially here during Advent.
Oh, yeah. I am a big believer in, as a family, making charitable giving decisions as a family. You know, your children may have an idea. You know, you think about kids when they're in school, they learn about different things. You know, they'll learn about what's happening in other countries or, you know, things that are happening in the community. And they may come to you and say, hey, I really want to support this thing. And that's beautiful. You know, I think that should be encouraged. We really should live our lives in this orientation of a willingness to give and starting that at a young age and letting children know that they can make a difference from a young age is really important and really beautiful. And on a day like today, on Giving Tuesday, it's a perfect opportunity for that.
Well, Laura, thanks so much for being with us here on this Giving Tuesday. I really appreciate your perspective and insights. Thanks again.
Thanks, John. Great to be with you.
For much more, you can visit lauradimaria.com. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
As we continue our series of Advent and Christmas stories, our story today called A Savior Who Made Us Rich from Kathleen White. In January of 1956, Jim Elliot and four other missionaries gave their lives in Ecuador in their effort to reach the Wadani Indians. This fierce group was known to attack any outsiders, But the vision for reaching them with the gospel compelled these young men to take the risk. Not long after they set up camp near the Wadani village, they were attacked by warriors. Refusing to defend their lives with force, the missionaries were killed. The news flashed around the world, and the story of courage and sacrifice challenged many to take up the missionary cause. Even today, Eliot's words live on. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. In a very real sense, Jim Eliot and his missionary friends were living the spirit of Christmas. They were willing to give up the comforts of home and promising careers and to ultimately lay down their lives to take the gospel to those who had never heard. They could have fought back to defend themselves, but they chose not to. Nothing of lasting significance and importance for God is ever accomplished without great sacrifice. Whether it's our time, our talent, our treasure, or even our lives, we must be willing to give what is temporary for the sake of what is eternal. When we do, we're following the example and pattern of Christ and walking in His steps. This is what Jesus did for us in coming to earth. St. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will tell us about the four love comings of Christ. Plus, Professor Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at the Kellogg School of Management, will tell us about the surprising power of reading to broaden your thinking. So stay with us. There is much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.